Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan forever.
Hello, I'm Steve. Seinfeld passed me by, but my good time buddy assures me it's very much worth my time.
And together, we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. Organised today, which I find slightly off-putting. I'm not usually a very organised human being. That sounded like a very small dolphin you were torturing then. What's that?
It's a bit noisy.
What's that doing? Is it pumping the water up?
No, it's you press that in and it just opens it.
For drinking. The nipple recedes.
The idea is that I'm putting my hand there just in case it spills.
But.
Yeah.
It's like a very sophisticated adult Tommy Tippy.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is, yes.
But it's a very pleasing design,
I could even attach a lanyard to it if I wanted to.
I got given a... That's very annoying.
Is that close enough to the...
Yeah, we're definitely picking that up. And the thumping on the table. I believe that's called Donkey Konging.
Sounds rude.
I like the angles. I like the angles on it. I got given a very large lanyard today. Four okay. pens and one of them things that's like it's a like a circular home for a piece of what a garrote, I guess it's called, but I think you're meant to put keys on it and then it extends and retracts.
Yes,
but now it's occurred to me I might use it as a garrote.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I
have one of those for work, actually.
I've been watching a lot of garrote.
No, a retractable key ring.
Oh, okay. A lot of people like to put security cards on them, don't they? Like, you see in spy films, and they've got a retractable thing with it. It's their swipe entry. Although these days, biometrics are more popular in films.
In the movies, retina scans.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. Fingerprintals.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that was... the favoured way of getting into the data archive on Scarif in the Star Wars film Rogue One.
Oh.
Yeah, because they shot him and then they used his hand to get in. Anyway, welcome to episode... I'm going to call this episode 55.
I would too.
Of Hello Newman, another Seinfeld podcast. And you join us here today as we're about to watch season 4, episode 15, The Shoes. It's funny, I was just alluding to... James Bond a moment ago, I believe. There are some themes that chime in James Bond that chime with tonight's episode. Or whenever you're listening to it. We're recording at night. You might be listening to this like in the goddamn day.
Very, very possible. Yes.
Anything's impossible in this wonderful world of ours. Steve, other than me saying, go on, give us a review on iTunes, I'll be your friend. Should we just get in and watch it on...
Let's do it.
Amazon
Prime.
On
Amazon Prime in the United Kingdom is what we use.
Yeah. I guess it's possible to watch it in other ways, in other territories, including our own. Okay, but I'm on all the zeros, Steve.
Yep.
And I'm going to press... When do you think I'm going to press play? I'm going to press it now. There you go. Bit of solid relationship stand-up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a fair bit of guys do this and girls do this.
There is a little, yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean... This... Right from the get-go...
Mm-hmm. Nice little bookie spot there.
This is a man's rule about what is expected after a certain number of dates.
Yes.
Three dates, I'm allowed to touch you. Mm-hmm. Now, in the current climate, that really does reek of male entitlement, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So they're writing again.
Oh, my goodness.
They're writing. And they're coming to the end of writing the butler and the victim story. I like George's plaid shirt, by the way. Quite fashionable now.
Yeah, it's timeless, almost.
Yeah, does plaid ever truly go out of fashion?
I don't think so.
Now, they're discussing who they're going to give it to proofread for them. if you had a therapist, would your therapist be your first thought? Mine wouldn't. I have a therapist. I would not give my therapist a piece of my writing to read for critique.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. So, shadowing the pilot of Seinfeld itself, where there is no... one of the conditions NBC put to Larry, David and Jerry Seinfeld is they create a character like Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have a female character. So, again, it's art imitating life, imitating art. Big cheer for Quamer. Oh,
knock it off.
He's running to Gail Cunningham from Happy Days. the lost Cunningham child, or an ex of Jerry's. She won't kiss. She wouldn't kiss. And they'd had three dates. He's allowed physical contact because he's a man.
Yes. Brilliant.
Yeah. But we're back to another Kramer monologue. He paints beautiful word pictures.
Yes.
He snubbed her, Steve.
Shocker.
You got anyone you've enjoyed snubbing over the years?
Yeah.
See, I've always done the opposite of snubs. I do the mumbled, yeah, thank you. As I go past. So I'm more provocative. Quite rightly,
yeah.
Jerry both chastises him for the snub.
But appreciates but congratulates it as well.
The gesture. Wow. Elaine reads the script and throws it in Jerry's face immediately. Very, very upset not to be included. Very Bon Jovi hair going on in the booth behind them. Obviously, there's a rocker.
Yeah.
At the counter, but behind them there's, or is it the lady from T'Pau?
Oh, it could be, couldn't it? Yeah.
Possible Carol Decker sighting.
Possibly. I couldn't quite work out if she had China in her hand.
There she is. It's Gail Cunningham.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you seen Pochi, whatever his name was.
Oh.
Potsy. And Charchi.
Yeah. Charchi.
And. Oh, there she is.
Ron Howard.
Gwyneth Ninth behind the counter there, taking the cash. She's in every Seinfeld episode. Every single one of them. And she has a bit of a Where's Wally role in Curb as well.
Nice.
Yeah. She's a chef.
She's a chef, don't you know?
Yeah. There's a very 80s ponytail going out amongst.
Botticelli shoes.
Yeah. Now, can we agree that Gail Cunningham just looks like she's trying to bond and interact with Elaine there, doesn't she?
A little, yeah.
But Elaine being Elaine,
mm-hmm.
hated every second of it.
Didn't enjoy that at all.
Yeah. This is, Donna Bailey, this is a great Elaine episode.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. We,
She's got a thing. She's bought a nice thing from an expensive place, but she doesn't really want anyone to notice.
No.
Even though I think secretly, she kind of does.
Yeah. So we are. George has successfully got his coat off, and he's at the therapist.
That's right. The coat is off.
Yeah. Still holding on to it, and the scarf stayed on. So we had that very light jacket in the last episode, if I remember back
that's
a week.
That's right. Yeah.
But now he's back in a heavier coat, and he's obviously had a cold spell. I mean, we're into February of 93 now. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, you don't hear that, do you? Yeah. He's exposed himself to someone who's almost duty-bound, to be honest with him. That's a hell of a diploma she's got, by the way. She's right, it's hacky.
But in terms of George not being able to handle criticism, I mean, he might be in one of the best places in order to analyse that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should have brought this up at the end of his session, though. This feels like a beginning of the session conversation.
It does, doesn't it? Uh-oh.
Brilliant. She stinks. Brilliant.
Ouch.
Yeah, he's not given me an awful lot of encouragement in terms of being a comedy writer. Those were two very lame pulls he made there. Oh, blame. Now we're into blame.
He's going to blame someone.
Yeah. Obviously, Jerry. Oh, poor George. That therapy's doing no good, is it? Oh, I love that they were both stood back in Jerry's apartment, stood there literally waiting for Elaine to enter.
Yep. Ambush her as soon as she enters. Yeah, like
the door.
Yes.
Little Roman and Martin reference there for the kids. I mean, that was an outdated reference when this was...
Yeah, I guess so. I've got no idea what it's referring to.
Roland and Martin's Laughing was a very popular sketch comedy show of the 1960s and 70s. Goodness. Notable for its psychedelic content and its featuring of a young Goldie Hawn.
Oh, wow.
That was direct pull from the top of the dome, Steve.
Nice.
Mm.
Gosh, that cough's bad.
Yeah. She's sitting in for summer.
Mm.
Oh my God, ooh, Steve, you just goodness. Kissed girl. You wait till Tom Bosley finds out. Is he still with us?
Right on the mouth.
Yeah. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
Kramer. This story starts to make one's toes curl. About this point. Where, although she reciprocated ultimately...
Yes.
Bit James Bond. Just grab her and kiss her until she submits to you.
True.
It's
a little aggressive.
If you're a young man that's listening to this and you're about to embark on a career of love with men or women, it's your choice, you need to be sure that you're in a reciprocal kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go around grabbing women and men.
No.
And just kissing them.
Just even grabbing. I mean, without the kiss, it's a bad move.
One of the most famous pictures of a man kissing a woman is that picture, is it not? In New York after VJ Day.
Yes.
Of the sailor kissing the nurse. And I believe the nurse is still with us. Was interviewed not so long ago and said she didn't want that. She considered that to be him... being wholly inappropriate, it was a case of a man exercising his entitlement over a woman's agency over her own body. Sad picture, Steve. Still obsessed by the shoes.
Yeah. Boy, the men find women confusing, don't they?
Women are confusing to men. Now, this guy with Gail... who I should always look up his name before I go, that's Kramer standing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, he was, I think we first saw him in the Chinese restaurant. Let's find his name. I should know his name. I'm meant to be a Seinfeld fan.
How could Elaine gain such access? Couldn't someone have pushed her out as soon as she walked in?
Well, Steve, I'm here to tell you I worked in the kitchen.
Yes.
And she would have had something thrown at her by now. Yeah, you don't just walk into a kitchen and sneeze on pasta primaveras.
Oh, this is interesting. Who's
this?
Who's having
it's
the
Russell,
pasta?
It's Russell Dalrymple. It is. As I live and breathe. Oh, poor old Russell. Don't look well already, does he?
Yeah, he looks a bit peaky, all right.
Oh, he's not listed on IMDb because he didn't have a line, so that was well worth my time, wasn't it? That's happened very quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, you'd think it would incubate for a day or two.
But then also she's got like all sorts of nasty stuff coming out her nose though, isn't she? So is that Richards he's referencing? Or Bouchard's, isn't it?
Bouchard's, yeah. I think.
The alternative restaurant. Yeah. Don't have the bouillabaisse is my suggestion.
Mm.
They use it as a toilet, Steve. I'm not prepared at this point to talk about any stories I heard about that as a chef, but I can tell you I never saw any behaviour like that as a chef.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Is this some of the best I'm about to throw up acting you've ever seen?
It's pretty good.
It is a tour de force performance by Bob Bellabum. Say it, innit?
I think so. Oh, there he goes.
I like his apartment. I always have. It's got levels.
Levels are important.
Levels are important. Wow. It's
the kind of thing that Kramer was trying to get in his apartment.
Absolutely. But Russell's very sensible. He's settled for just a couple of levels rather than all levels all the time, everywhere.
No!
That's a nice moment, isn't it? I'm watching the episode.
No, this is a cracking scene.
It is. It's very
good. Let's talk about the script.
Yeah. What is the script?
And when he talks about the script, he can't help but feel physically ill.
The nausea just overcomes him, doesn't it? Oh, it sounds all so real, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. This is one of the episodes where I really wished we had the sound on quietly in the background for listener. Oh, dear. It's not a good sound.
That's the pain.
We've all been there, haven't we?
The timing of the vomiting is...
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oh, it's celebrity Denise Richards.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Denise Richards, 22... At this point, it's important to add, considering she's playing a character which is 15.
Interesting. Everywhere I've read about this scene, people seem very keen to point out that she's 22.
Mm.
Mm. So, what? Things are about to get creepy, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the worst thing that ever happens to her, of course. She married Charlie Sheen.
True.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just getting ready. A little nudge there from Jerry. And hello. Oh,
there's some breasts.
A blatant shot down the top for us all.
Of a character who's 15. Oh, dear. He's been caught. Now, I have to say, this scene with Jerry where he discusses... with George that looking up cleavage is like looking at the sun. you take a peek, get an impression and then look away. I'll cop to that.
Sure. This is actually a really interesting predicament.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, just the dialogue here, but the predicament in particular is a rather grown-up adult admission to... Yeah. What guys do?
Yeah. We shouldn't. Probably. Especially when that person's 15.
I think we kind of have to accept what occurs naturally through century, if not millennia, old coding.
Yeah, I guess.
But, you know, at the same time, we should also know when it's not appropriate and perhaps stop ourselves as soon as possible.
Men are hard-coded to look down the tops of 15-year-old women. Girls. Women. Girls. Confused. Oh, so it turns out that Gail Cunningham, far from being the frosty creature that Jerry met...
Indeed.
...is quite the adventurous soul. I mean, he's talking about sex, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Stu from NBC.
Oh, yeah, Stu. I remember Stu. Oh, that doesn't sound like good news. Lovely phone. Really is the black brick phase of home phones. Brilliant. Absolutely exquisite comic timing with the throwing the rubbish over his shoulder. Or trash. This is the nicer lane scene, I think. She just unravels as a human being. Yeah. And we get to see her fundamental truth.
Cleavage poke.
Mm.
You only peek after a poke.
Oh, no, I peek then poke. No, I ask for consent and then poke. You know, and it doesn't have to be stiff and formal. It doesn't have to be a signed form. As long as you're recording it.
That's it, video.
Yeah.
Ah, here we go. Here's a scheme.
Yeah. Go and confront him. Talk him into... Oh, poor Elaine.
Oh, dear.
Now,
she's been challenged.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus was not comfortable in real life with their plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's quoted as saying, in the excellent, Steve, the excellent Seinfeld Secrets and Insider Scoop about the show by Dennis Bjorklund.
Yes.
I believe she said she didn't mind talking about it, but showing it was a little less comfortable for her. So she wants the shoes. She's going to have to give the shoes away if they want the tip off on when Russell turns up in Gail Cunningham's restaurant. Can I give you a bit of trivia about this episode?
Okay, may go I? Ahead.
This is the first episode that was shown after Cheers. So at this point, Seinfeld now has as its leading show most popular sitcom in the country.
Wow.
So for Seinfeld now, it's a matter of how few people you can possibly lose. But apparently, this episode saw the show rise up into the top 10 in terms of rankings, a place it never left for the rest of its run.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's a lovely set,
isn't it?
Yeah. Is it Norman Brenner? Is that his name? I want to say it's Norman Brenner.
Okay.
One more thing, Steve. Bring the shoes. Bring the shoes. He's having pasta primavera again. That's so brave. That's
trusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what a surprise.
Hey. What's the thing about you? That's what they say, isn't it? They notice it too. Notice he had a little side of broccoli there as well, which seemed completely unnecessary. Although maybe it's one of the integral. Oh my goodness. Hello, Elaine. So there's Elaine and her breasts.
Yep.
She puts on a lovely show. Young Seth MacFarlane didn't make Renner.
Oh, how about that?
Probably.
Just going to sit down here at the table.
Yeah. Oh, are those my... Silly me. Are those my breasts? Brilliant.
Some excellent business here.
He's so focused on his primavera. But it looks like such a classy restaurant. Why have they got... Is ketchup normal to have on... Even classy restaurants.
Is it on every table, or has he specifically requested the ketchup?
Oh, he doesn't seem like a ketchup guy to
me. Maybe he is.
Yeah. I can help her. Glass bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I got told how to do this by a waitress in a restaurant I went to with friends, actually.
Yeah.
This weekend. The waitress said to me, hit the 57.
There we go. Hit it on 57. And
you saw me do that.
Yep.
Works. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, Russell's interested now in Elaine and her breasts.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, he's really into her. In a very basic
field of vision lizard
brain kind of way. But I think they've made their point.
Yep.
Yeah, he seems satisfied with that.
And surely he would, admire their creativity if only they would apply that to their script.
Absolutely. So Elaine's going out with Russell tomorrow night. Wonder where they're going, Steve.
Oh, she's got the script.
Mm. Oh, she's got notes. See, now what they've inadvertently done here is they've given Elaine power.
Mm-hmm.
Very foolish. The law of unintended consequences. I love that it's broad for a story about a guy who has a car accident without insurance. I love the way George delivers that particular line. It's a funny idea. I like it very much. Old Bouchard. Yeah. Brilliant. Oh. Get the bouillabaisse. They use it as a toilet, Steve. They use it as a toilet.
As a toilet. So let's put the stand-up in the credit sequence because they had a busy episode.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting squeezed for time, so no middle... I don't remember seeing a middle stand-up portion for a long time.
No.
And the final stand-up sequence is getting pushed right out.
Mm.
It's almost like they've got too much story now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes an interesting observation.
Yes.
Men's gaze is drawn to cleavage,
mm.
and women's gaze to shoes. And they are comparable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good observations for the 90s. A couple of new men there, Steve. Okay, so that was the shoes.
Yes.
Steve, do you have for us an appraisal of your thoughts on the shoes?
I liked it.
Good. Yeah.
I liked it. I think there was some pretty good stuff in the episode. We get to return to the Ark with the pilot. So that's a nice little thing going on.
Yeah.
And we get... I think what is quite, I wouldn't say it was daring.
No.
But I think it is bold for a sitcom to try and deal with effectively the male gaze.
Yeah.
In their yeah. storytelling. And you can see how it... Like, some of this comes out of probably a conversation or mm-hmm. an experience between Jerry mm. and Larry
yeah.
about, looking down someone's top. I mean, yeah. We're not talking about deliberately engineering the situation.
Yeah.
We're just talking about you're presented with an opportunity to take a peek.
Yeah.
And you take a peek.
Absolutely.
And I think as men, we probably mm. do need to admit to and face up to that's a thing that we do.
Probably something we're not proud of.
No. Mm. Not always.
No.
Because it is, you know, by and large, an invasion of someone else's
indeed private, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Privacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
If a part of their body just happens to show itself a little more than necessary, perhaps purely by accident, yeah. it's not really anyone's business but theirs.
No. But you're going to have a look, aren't you?
But let's face up to the fact that you're going to have a look.
Yeah.
The important thing is to take a brief snapshot.
Yeah.
Not video footage, just a still.
Yeah.
to try and do that in a situation where you know that you're not being looked at.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then it's between you and your conscience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have to face up to that. Yeah. And we add on to the fact that there is, I mean, not only is this Russell's daughter...
Yeah.
But she is of an age of which it would be inappropriate, really, to take a yeah. peek.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another bold aspect to this episode. Yeah. Not necessarily to say that we're all paedophiles or the equivalent for yeah. young people who are in puberty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
And I think the episode deals with it in quite a mature, matter-of-fact way, and I appreciate that effort.
Yes. Yeah, I think so, actually. It's I think by modern terms it feels a bit icky and feels a bit problematic, but actually when you unpack it and you look at what they're trying to say,
yeah.
It's not a love letter to the male gaze.
No, not at all.
It's it looks at how inappropriate it is. It has consequences.
Yes.
Elaine is most definitely exploited in this
mm-hmm.
In this particular episode that makes me slightly uncomfortable, especially in the context that Julia Louis-Dreyfus wasn't comfortable filming it as well. So I think actually in many ways the situation with Elaine is more icky than the situation with Dalrymple's daughter, because Elaine's exploited.
Yes.
Her guilt about the situation is leveraged, and her sexuality is used to make a point, which is, that's kind of, there's no way to dress that up as not being a bit with, you know, looking at it with, you know, my head on of today.
Yeah.
You know, if that if that was in a sitcom that had been made, you know, this year, I'd be like, well, that's really exploitative. That woman needs to, I mean, she kind of gets her own back on the guys, but not really. I don't get me wrong, I find it very funny.
It is. And I think when you consider the world in which this is set and the character, the character traits of our main four players, that's, I mean, yes, it's icky, but it's also the kind of thing that they would do to each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And to, she loses her shoes to boot. She does. The pun.
She does lose the shoes. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that, I mean, she gets the hand insofar as selling the script to Russell. Yeah. But, I mean, by virtue of her flashing her cleavage, she now also has Russell interested in her and taking her on a date. And she might have a nice time. There might be something going on there. There probably won't be. But even then, it's like something another man has done to her, as opposed to her free will being enacted.
We will see. I mean, it's happened within the arc, hasn't it?
It has, yes.
Who knows?
So it becomes, I mean, it does really, I mean, it becomes the talking point of the episode, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah.
Boobs. But there's other stuff going on. There's the fun with the snub.
Yes. The relationship with Kramer and Gail Cunningham really nicely intertwines into the A story, actually, I think.
Yes.
On this occasion. Although Kramer's very much supporting, I like the way that all intertwines. And also he's getting a kind of, yet again, he's getting to live the life that Jerry wanted.
Yes. True enough. And there's a certain, perhaps with Elaine less so, but there's a certain theme in this, which I kind of saw in the previous episode, The Visa, where the measure of their friendship is that they will do these things in their loyalty to others. So the snub.
Yeah.
Kramer does that in support of Jerry. Gail goes ahead with making the phone call and helping them out because, yes, she's in a relationship with Kramer. She doesn't really have any bridges burnt with Jerry either, to be honest. So there's those kind of things going on as well, which is a nice thing to note. And I guess we should probably spend a brief moment just talking about the continuation of the examination of George's mental state.
Yes. I think he's getting worse, Steve.
He's certainly not getting better, is he?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if the therapy's been helping him.
I think it's remarkable at how... I think it's remarkable that therapists agree to read, knowing George as she does at this point.
Mm.
I think it's remarkable that she takes no steps to calm the hysteria.
No. But I guess she was off the clock.
Well, I guess. She's just a normal person at that point.
Yeah. She's just a normal person.
Yeah.
Reviewing a script.
She's just another woman for Jerry and his male friends to exploit.
not just with George, but the season's had a bit of it. Mm. You could say it was it's an underlying theme.
Yeah.
We've had Crazy Joe, we've had Elaine. They both for a while shared the same therapist. We have George involved in this, and there'll probably be more of that to come, I suppose. And again, there's not anything specific I can say about it now, but it's just, it's interesting that this keeps coming up.
Yep. It is.
So yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. More to say, have you, Steve?
No.
Okay. I don't normally do this, but I was interested in the user reviews or the viewer reviews on IMDb. And there's a mixed bag. You know, one's Elaine reduced to sex object. And another one says everything about Seinfeld is perfect. But there's one here, it's a 10 out of 10. Not all these are 10 out of 10s, but there's a 10 out of 10 here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to share it with you, okay. If that's okay. It's titled Great Cleavage, ellipsis, and lots of it. Denise Richard played the sexy 15-year-old. I was pleasantly surprised at how big Julia's chest was. And finally, someone had the courage to say that, yes, it's perfectly normal for a man to be attracted to a teenage girl. After all, such relationships are very common.
Wow.
I believe Jerry Lee Lewis married a girl that age. I just loved this episode. Now, I don't know whether Ross Vasilev was writing for Chuckles. I don't know whether this is Russian fake news. Sorry, Ross, if you're not Russian. It both amused me and disturbed me in almost equal measure. I thought it was worth sharing. There's only about five there. One of them is a straight-up review of the show. I would say if you're going to read a straight-up review of the show, listen to our podcast.
Of course.
Far more entertaining and somewhat less insightful. No comments from Dennis Bjorklund. I was disappointed to see on IMDb, though. You'd expect him to be all over that. Steve, thank you.
He has instead decided to put it in a book and sell it.
Yeah, you can only write so much. Yeah, fair play to him. He's monetized it. He's mm-hmm. the clever one. Great cleavage. Steve, thank you for, as always, your insightful summation of the episode. I enjoyed mm-hmm. that a great deal. Yeah, I enjoyed this episode very much. It's fun. I like the Bouchard Kappa as well. Yep. That's very enjoyable. So, yeah, great button on the episode. But, Steve,
mm-hmm.
I could talk about it for hours, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think we're done.
I think it's time for me to say thank you for listening, mm-hmm. listener. Please indulge us and listen to us again, won't you? Until then, goodbye.
Bring the shoes.